The Coram Deo Church community is a missional church rooted in historic biblical Christianity and committed to engaging an ever-changing culture. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you towards spiritual formation and mission and helps you delight in Christ alone. Thanks for listening.
Proverbs is the book we're studying. I'm excited about the message this morning. And let me give you one reason why. It's a normal part of my job, my calling, as well as Dusty and Justin, the other pastors, that we have some strange conversations in the course of a week. It's a normal part of our job that people, because of their own sin and foolishness, have in many ways made a complete mess of their lives. And then what they want is they want to dump that mess in our lap and have us wave the magic Jesus wand and make everything better. I don't say that about, there actually are a number of people who honestly want to repent of sin, are willing to own their own junk and take responsibility for things and move toward change. Those are easy and good conversations. The people I'm talking about are situations where people don't want to repent, they don't want to take responsibility for their actions, they don't really want to change in any significant way, but what they want is to say, here's the mess of my life, now you take this and do something to fix it and repair it. I was talking with a woman not long ago who had sowed really unhealthy seed of conflict and tension in her marriage over the course of years, even decades. And things were finally at a breaking point, and she was sitting in my office saying, "Can you help to fix my husband?" And so I said, "Well, your husband's not here, so let's start with you. And let's work on you, and then, you know, hopefully we'll get your husband in the room and we can work on him too." She said, no, it's not, I'm not the one with the problem, it's him. And I said, "Well, since he's not here, there's not a whole lot I can do to help you with that." And this woman was entirely unwilling to acknowledge that she played any role in it, that there was any sin in her that needed to be acknowledged and repented of. What she wanted was, "Here's the mess I've made of my marriage, fix it." But there's this principle in the Bible, you see, that's called the law of sowing and reaping. Jesus uses this principle often in his parables. He's always talking about sowing and reaping. In fact, the most succinct statement of it is in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 7, where the Bible says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." For some reason, there's something in us that just doesn't want to believe that principle. There's something in us that believes that Christianity should work such that it should work against the law of sowing and reaping. So no matter what we've sown in our lives, by the grace of God, we should be able to reap something completely different. And so we consistently disbelieve the law of sowing and reaping. Like, I'll tell you some of how this works. If you have disobedient kids, kids that are hard to manage, instead of saying, "Perhaps I've sown seeds of a lack of leadership and discipline that have caused my kids to be rebellious," what you want to say is, "My kids are ADHD. My kids have a strong temperament. They're strong-willed. They just are that way. That's just who they are." Instead of, "Maybe I've done some things that have caused this harvest." If you have financial chaos and wreckage in your financial life, for some reason we want to say, "Oh, the circumstances didn't work out well for me. My car broke down. My bank went under. My investments went bad." Instead of saying, "Maybe I've sowed some really unhealthy financial practices that have gotten me to this point." Oh, this even works in the opposite direction. For people who lack spiritual depth, instead of saying spiritual depth comes as a result of sowing the seed of spiritual discipline over time, I want to believe if I just read a couple books, I can become a spiritually deep person. So I have people that even say things to me like, "Well, of course you know your Bible. You're a pastor." As though once you put the pastor hat on, magically you know the Bible really well. No, the reason I know the Bible is because I've sowed the seeds of studying it for decades. Just like all of us can and should. That's reaping a harvest that's that seed. The book of Proverbs is an extended discourse on the law of sowing and reaping. What Proverbs wants you to see is, if you sow the seeds of cultivating wisdom, you will reap the benefits of that. Or you can sow foolishness, and you can reap the consequences of that. And so I'm excited about this morning because I think it has potential to help you just see your life honestly and to acknowledge much of what you are reaping has to do with what you've sown. And is God gracious and can God change that? Absolutely. But he doesn't change it by waving the magic Jesus wand and making it go away. He changes it by confronting you with your foolishness and urging you to seek and pursue wisdom. Last week, we took a look at wisdom. This week, we want to take a close look at foolishness. And understand, what is it? How do I get into it? How do I avoid it? The literary technique that the book of Proverbs uses, and again, if you've been reading through it, if you've used the little handout that we gave you, there should be one near you if you didn't get one last week. The technique that the book of Proverbs uses is characterization. In our culture, this is very common in TV and movies. Okay, I'll give you an example that you all will probably recognize. Michael Scott on The Office, right? The classic stupid boss, right? What makes that show funny is none of you, I guarantee none of you have a boss that's exactly like him. But you've all got bosses that in some way display characteristics that you see in that caricature, right? And so you look at him, and what makes that funny is like, oh yeah, my boss has done that before. That's exactly what the book of Proverbs does. It characterizes, or it gives you a caricature, sort of a picture of, here's what a fool is like. Now, no fool is probably exactly like the picture in Proverbs, though many people perhaps are close. But the goal is to help you see that and say, oh, okay, I see those characteristics in my own life. I see those characteristics in this person or that person that I know. And so how should I respond in light of that? So Proverbs magnifies certain character traits and sort of gives you a picture of what these particular kinds of people are like. There are four main characters that we're going to see in the book of Proverbs. There is the fool. There is the simple person, or some of your translations will say the naive person. There is the scoffer, and there is the sluggard. And in the next 4 weeks, we're going to take a look at these four characters and learn what we can from the caricature that we see in the book of Proverbs. And so today, we're going to take a look at the fool. Now, to begin with, we should probably understand what a fool is. And again, if you just read the book of Proverbs and circle or highlight the word fool, this character will begin to be built in your mind. It's very clear to see, oh, this is the kind of person a fool is, just by reading and observing. But let me begin by giving you a definition or two of what a fool is. This is from Dr. Paul Tripp. A fool is a spiritually blind person. He thinks he sees, is wise, and understands, when really he is blind, foolish, and confused. The key to the fool is that he thinks he sees. He thinks that he is actually wise, that he actually has understanding. And so Tripp is right that the characteristic of the fool is just spiritual blindness. He does not understand that he actually doesn't see at all. The fool is different. The simple or naive person who we're going to look at next week is just a person who's untaught. They're sort of a person who's immature. The word naive is a good word for this person. They just haven't learned a lot. And so they're just sort of ignorant, and they can actually learn wisdom or they can learn folly. They just haven't learned either yet. A fool is different because a fool is unteachable, obstinate, self-deluded. A fool thinks he knows, thinks he has wisdom, thinks he has insight and understanding, when in reality, he has none of the above. And so Dr. Bruce Waltke puts it a little more starkly. A fool is a blockhead who is deaf to wisdom. All right? That's from a guy who's in his 90s. You don't want a 90-year-old guy calling you a blockhead. It's just not a good thing. All right? So this is not what you want to be. The fool in Proverbs is not what you want to be. But it's helpful for us to see, to look, to examine our own souls and say, are these characteristics present in me? And how do I respond to these characteristics in other people? All right? So I'm going to outline for you a number of characteristics of a fool from the book of Proverbs. And we're going to look at a ton of scripture this morning. And so depending on how fast you are flipping pages, it might behoove you not to try to look at all of them, but rather just jot down the references we use, go back, look at them later, because we're just going to sort of overwhelm you with passages of scripture describing what a fool is and does. All right? So let's look at some characteristics of a fool from the book of Proverbs. Number one, a fool talks a lot. A fool is a classic talker. Proverbs 18, verse 2 says this, "A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind." You ever had a conversation with a person like this? It's maddening, right? Because instead of listening, dialogue, seeking to understand, they're just waiting for you to get done talking so they can say what they think. They're not listening, they're not taking in, they're not evaluating, they're not discerning. They're simply waiting to put in their two cents. Likewise, Proverbs 15:2 says, "The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly." Many of the Proverbs are like this, where they're contrasting. They say, here's what a wise person is like, but on the other hand, here's what a foolish person is like. So notice what it says. The tongue of the wise, what's characteristic of a wise person is they make knowledge acceptable. In other words, they know how to say things and how to frame things and how to articulate things in a way that makes them receivable and palatable, in a way that makes them easy to hear and take note of. On the other hand, a fool just spouts folly. There's no argument, there's no insight, there's just talking. These people are the worst, are they not? Early on in Coram Deo, there was a guy who was a fool, did not even attend our church, but sort of knew some people who did. He would listen to my sermon on podcast every week and then send me an email with four or five things that he disagreed with. And so as a good pastor just wanting to like engage and learn, I would email back and say, hey, tell me more, and here's what I was trying to say, and here's the passages I was referencing. And basically would create this email chain that lasted all week long of him giving me his perspective and his opinions. And this would happen every single week. And finally, I just woke up and realized, this guy's never going to stop talking. He's not telling this because he wants to understand and create a dialogue. He just wants to be obnoxious and divisive and talkative. So I just stopped responding to his emails. And then he started emailing other people in the church and doing the same thing. And then finally, I called the elders of his church and said, this fool is ruining my church. Would you discipline him? And by God's grace, because their church had good elders, they stepped in and said, don't talk to anyone at Coram Deo anymore. In fact, just don't talk for a while. Let's just work on you. And he, by God's grace, received that and began to grow and change. The first characteristic of a fool is just they just talk a lot. They're not interested in understanding. They're interested in communicating their own mind and their own opinions. Here's the second characteristic of a fool from the book of Proverbs. A fool is convinced that he is right. Proverbs 12:15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." The fool is the person that's convinced that their way is right, and you can offer counsel, and they might even listen to it. They just won't change anything because they're already convinced they're right. I've got this figured out. I don't need to listen to or take heed to counsel. A few years ago, there was a young man who came to me and asked if he should marry a certain girl. And I knew both him and I knew the girl he was dating. They were both very immature, very foolish, very young. And there were just all kinds of issues of sin and rebellion and sanctification in their lives that still needed to be sorted out before they were going to have a healthy marriage. And so I just said, look, no, maybe in the future, but you should definitely not get married now, definitely not to this girl. There's too much going on in both of your lives that needs to get sorted out. Being a fool, he ignored that counsel and got married anyway. A year later, his wife was having an affair with another man. So then I sat down with his wife and said, you are in adultery, you need to repent. And she had no desire to, didn't even want to, didn't display any concern or conviction whatsoever. So that man learned the hard way that he wasn't right, that he'd made a foolish and immature decision. But see, the problem with a fool is they're convinced that they are right. And so no matter what wisdom is spoken into their lives, they in the end will say, nah, I got this. Thanks for your advice. Thanks for your counsel. Thanks for the input. But I'm pretty sure I have this figured out. Number three, a fool rejects discipline and rebuke. Proverbs 15:5, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. It is a sensible thing to listen to heed rebuke and confrontation and people bringing things to your attention. A fool will reject those things. Likewise, Proverbs 17:10 says this, a rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. A wise person heeds rebuke, listens to counsel, receives discipline. A fool rejects it. Here's a fourth characteristic of a fool. A fool runs recklessly toward sin. Proverbs 12:16. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil. But a fool is arrogant and careless. Or some of your translations will say reckless. There's just a lack of concern about where they're going, the direction their life is headed. Proverbs 10:23. Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, and so is wisdom to a man of understanding. If you're a wise person, understanding, insight, living wisely, that's like sport. It's fun and enjoyable. If you're a fool, that's what sin and wickedness is to you. It's like sport. A fool runs recklessly towards sin. Here's a fifth one. This one's going to hurt a little bit. A fool wastes money. Right? Proverbs 17:16. Why is there a price in the hand of a fool to buy wisdom when he has no sense? The writer here is lamenting the fact, why does this guy have money, but he doesn't have a sense in what to do with it and how to gain wisdom with it? Likewise, Proverbs 21:20 says, there is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. Precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. In other words, a wise person has stored up good things for themselves. They save, they're thrifty, they provide. A foolish man swallows it up. They don't have a savings account. They don't have the ability to provide good things, not because they're meager financial means, but rather just because they're stupid with what they do with their money. It's different to be poor or to be in need because you actually are poor and in need than to be poor and in need because you're a fool and you don't know how to save and invest and give money wisely. A fool is foolish with everything, including the money in his pocket. Here's a sixth characteristic of a fool. A fool stirs up conflict. You're going to like this proverb. Proverbs 18:6. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. This is how you feel when you're talking to a fool, is I want to punch you in the throat. Okay? That's what it feels like. It's just your mouth is so annoying that I seriously am trying to restrain myself. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. A fool is one who stirs up conflict, who's interested in a fight, who makes you angry with what they say, who's provocative in their speech in ways that bring anger and resentment and rebellion. And to go along with that, number seven, a fool, oh wait, here's another one. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. That's great. If you're quarrelsome, here's what you need to remember. Any fool will quarrel. What's honorable is keeping away from strife, knowing what's worth fighting about, letting things go when they're not really worth starting an argument over. Number seven, a fool has a short fuse. This kind of goes with the one right before it. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool's anger is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. Likewise, Proverbs 29:11, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. A wise man has learned self-control and learned the art of restraining anger, saving it for an appropriate time and place and how it should be handled and dealt with. A fool has not learned self-control, and so they're always flying off the handle. They always lose their temper. They can't control or restrain their anger or their words. Now, I want to encourage you that all I just did is I just went through the book of Proverbs, wrote down every verse that had the word fool in it, and organized them into these categories. Right? You can do this. This is not rocket science. It's just paying attention to Scripture and saying, okay, what does this book say about a fool? What are some things that are true of a fool? Let me lay them out, understand them, examine them, observe them, try to grow from learning them. Right? So I want to encourage you. This is very, very simple work to do. And part of the reason we're having you read through the book of Proverbs this month is just so you can start learning to do this, to observe things that are there on the page of Scripture and beginning to learn from them. So let me put the list back up and ask you this question. Which of these characteristics are present in your life? Which of these do you see? Okay, remember, this is a caricature. It's not an exhaustive list. Okay, so if you're sitting out there going, oh man, only five of those seven are true of me. I must not be a fool. You're missing the point, okay? It's not like you have all seven or you're not a fool. What's being done here is holding up a characteristic caricature of here's what a fool is like. Now, step back and look at your life. Which of these do you see? Which of these are honestly true of you? What do you need to see and learn from this? This is here to show you what not to be. The fool in Proverbs is a negative character example to show you you don't want to be like this. You don't want to be this kind of a person. And so listen, if you see these characteristics in your life, the reason God has brought you here this morning, the reason God has written the book of Proverbs and opened it to you is to help convince you, listen, you need to repent. You need to turn from that. You don't want to be this kind of a person. And so you need to acknowledge the foolishness of these ways of living, and you need to repent, and you need to humble yourself, and you need to come under the authority of Scripture and of God and of wise counsel and good people and ultimately of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to begin to cultivate wisdom. So the whole point of this is to say, look, don't be like this. Repent. Turn from this. There's another reason that this is here in the book of Proverbs, and that is to help you be wise in how to discern and respond to people, right? Because the reality of all of our lives is we interact with all kinds of people every day. And part of what we need is a grid and a filter for knowing, how do I engage and respond to certain people? And so part of the reason Proverbs teaches you about the fool is not just to hold up a mirror to you and say, which of these are present in your life? But also to help you see, okay, what should I, if I am encountering a fool, if I'm trying to walk alongside a fool or help a fool or disciple someone who's foolish, what should I do? So I want to give you three principles from Proverbs of how to respond to a fool. I want to warn you, they're not encouraging. They're not meant to be. Okay? They're meant to be clear, honest, truthful, and straightforward. Here's how you respond to a fool. Number one, distance yourself. Proverbs 13:20, we looked at this last week. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So if you're hanging out with fools, you're going to suffer harm, and you need to distance yourself from them. Likewise, Proverbs 14:7, leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. In case you're not convinced yet, Proverbs 17:12, perhaps the most convincing. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Okay, so you want to choose Mama Grizzly looking for her cubs or foolish guy. You want Mama Grizzly, right? That's where you'd rather be. That ought to give you ding, 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 ding. Uh-oh, that means fools are bad. I probably don't want to hang out with them, right? Because I wouldn't want to be chased by Mama Grizzly trying to find her cubs. Likewise, I probably wouldn't want to be hanging out with foolish people. The first way you respond is to distance yourself. Number two, don't waste your words. Listen, Proverbs 23:9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. I mean, you can try to offer wisdom, and you probably should, but just don't be surprised when a fool does not want to hear what you have to say. Because a fool despises wisdom. And so if you're trying to impart or to counsel or to rebuke with wisdom, it's going to be ignored. Proverbs 26:4-5, one of the most troubling proverbs in all of the book. Listen, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will also be like him. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he not be wise in his own eyes. So do you see why this is complex? On the one hand, the first verse says, don't answer a fool according to his folly. And then the second verse says, answer a fool as his folly deserves. And commentators have wrestled with why are these placed back to back? And some commentators would say, it's designed to show you how maddening it is to try to respond to a fool. Right? Because you have to answer him. You have to give some wisdom or speak something into his life. But the problem is, if you do that, then you're going to be like him because he's going to not respond and he's going to want to fight and stir up conflict. And so then you're going to risk being like him. So you can't not answer, but you also can't really answer. This is what it's like to respond to a fool. So listen, we're obligated to speak the truth in love. Right, we have an obligation to be loving, gracious, truth speakers to one another. And so when you are encountering and walking alongside someone who is foolish, you're responsible to speak the truth in love. But Proverbs is here. Proverbs is in the Bible so that you won't get frustrated and so that you'll know it's okay to set boundaries. We've had some of our missional community leaders that have foolish people that are a part of their missional community, and they say, man, there's this person, I'm trying to give wise counsel, I'm trying to come alongside them and love them, I'm trying to get them to see their sin and to repent, I'm trying to hold up a mirror, I'm doing everything I can, they're not listening, they won't return my phone calls, they won't repent, they don't seem to want to turn from this behavior, what do I do? My answer is, stop wasting your time. Go invest in someone who's teachable, let that person learn the hard way. You can't speak wisdom to a fool. And so listen, the Bible gives you permission. Graciously, humbly, charitably, to draw boundaries and to say, you know what? This person's a fool. I need to leave them alone. And invest instead in people who are wise, humble, teachable. Here's the third way of response. Pray for the mercy of hard discipline. Pray for the mercy of hard discipline. This is one of the reasons I love the Bible, because the Bible does not tell you things you want to hear. Okay, what you want to hear is, if you just love a fool and be patient and walk alongside them and love them, after a while they'll listen to you and respond to you. The Bible says, no, that probably won't happen, but here's what will happen. If you pray for God to discipline them, there's a chance that they might learn something. And so what I want to happen this morning, one of the things I want to happen is that you begin to see the discipline of God as mercy. For a fool who will not listen, who will not respond to counsel, who thinks they have wisdom but does not, the discipline of God is a merciful thing in their life because it's designed to bring them to the point of breaking where they wake up and say, oh, I'm so foolish. Proverbs 26:3 says this, a whip is for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Proverbs 19:29, judgments are prepared for scoffers and blows for the back of fools. I don't have this quote on the screen, but this is from Dr. Bruce Waltke, who wrote a commentary on Proverbs, a very old, wise man. This is his way of putting it. Brute force, not words, is fitting for animals and for fools, for it is a language both understand. That's a hard word, isn't it? If you're a fool, you're like an animal. What you need is a stick, because that's the language you speak. And listen to me, some of you guys just don't want to believe the Bible here. You don't want to believe that God, in his mercy, brings discipline into people's lives for the sake of waking them up from their stupor and helping them to see themselves and see their sin and repent. But I want you to see, this is all through the Bible. God deals this way with people. And so when you are trying to see a fool become a disciple of Christ, and you have tried to walk with them, and you've tried to speak truth, and you've tried to counsel, and you've tried to love, and it's clear that they are unwilling to learn, then what you do is you step back from that, and you begin praying for them that God will bring into their life the mercy of hard, painful discipline to bring them to the end of themselves. And there are people in this church on my prayer list that is what I'm praying for you. And all of you should have people like that, where you're praying, God, in your mercy, bring discipline into this person's life so that they are humbled. Not so that they get paid back for all the pain they're causing me. Okay? That's not godly. But God, would you bring discipline into this person's life so that they see, so that they repent, so that they wake up and are brought to the end of themselves, that they might be humbled and that they might know you. This is how Scripture tells you to respond to a fool. Fools learn the hard way. There are some people that are just like this, right? And this is true to life. There are some people that just are going to learn the hard way. Nothing you can say is going to teach them. Nothing they observe in anyone else's life is going to teach them. They're going to learn by paying the dumb tax themselves. And the Scriptures call you to just be okay with that. Now listen, here's why this is in the Bible. Number one, to show you what not to be. You don't want to be a fool. This is not a good thing to be. So if you see these things in your life, you need to repent. You need to turn from it. You need to humble yourself. Number two, to help you see, how do you respond? How do you walk alongside someone who's foolish? Well, I think there's a third reason. This is in the Bible. And that is to help you see why salvation has to be by grace. Why salvation has to be by grace. Because see, if it were really true that the way salvation works is some people who are humble and wise and thoughtful see their need for God and respond, and other people who are foolish and ignorant and self-absorbed don't see their need for God and therefore don't respond, then there's no hope for a fool, is there? Because a fool is in the second category. And there's no hope for humbling the people that are in the wise category because they begin thinking, oh man, it's my wisdom, it's my insight, it's my lack of foolishness that caused God to save me. But you see, the reason Proverbs teaches us about the fool is to help us see salvation has to be by grace. Because only then is there hope for anyone and everyone, no matter how foolish. There really is hope that a fool can be brought to the end of themselves, can repent of sin, and can know Christ. And the hope is God's grace. In fact, when it comes to salvation, all of us are fools. All of us by nature have thrown off God's yoke, have gone our own ways, have cultivated our own approach to wisdom, have thought we were wise enough and insightful enough to do life on our own. If you have a Bible, open to Romans chapter 1. This is the last text, and I want you to see it in your own Bible. Romans 1, verses 18 through 23. Catch this with me. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Okay, now, so this is talking about everyone. All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, that is, of human beings. We are ungodly and unrighteous, and we suppress the truth in that unrighteousness. Skip down to verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now catch verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became what? Fools. And exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. The nature of sin is that it makes us fools. And though we know God, and though we know there is a God, and though we know God exists, instead of honoring him as God, we instead, professing our own wisdom, become fools. And we trade the glory of God as the creator for idolatry, for putting all kinds of created things in the place of God and calling that God. So Scripture looks back to the whole contrast of wisdom and foolishness, and it says, yeah, this is why you need a Savior. This is why you need redemption to be by the grace of God, not by your works. Because you, professing to be wise, have become a fool. And in God's grace and mercy, he, in his wisdom, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into human history to live the life you should have lived, to die the death you deserve to die, to be raised from the dead in victory over Satan, sin, and death, so that you and I could be delivered from our foolishness and could truly become wise. So in spite of the hard words that Proverbs has to say about the fool, there is good news. And the good news is that salvation is by grace. And what that means is there's hope even for the most foolish, most hard-hearted person here this morning. There is hope that God in his grace will humble you, will bring you to the end of yourself, and that you don't become right with God by growing out of your foolishness and doing the right thing, but rather by God in his grace and in his wisdom paying the price for your foolishness through his death on the cross. Then, as a result of his grace, you're ushered into relationship with Jesus Christ, and you can begin cultivating a heart of wisdom. Proverbs says, don't be a fool. Learn how to respond to a fool. And most importantly, give thanks and honor and praise to God because he saves fools like you and me. Let's pray together. God, we confess that in our foolishness we have thought we were wise. We have relied on our own wisdom. We've turned our backs on you. We thank you that you sent Jesus Christ into human history to die for sin, to pay the price for our foolishness and rebellion, so that he might become to us wisdom from God, and so that we might be made into wise people. And God, we recognize that salvation does not immediately magically make us wise, but that it, in coming to you in humility, in bowing our knee to King Jesus, we then are given your Holy Spirit who enables us to become wise and to cultivate a heart of wisdom. And so, Father, this morning I pray that you, by your grace, would help to see and point out the foolishness that's in our hearts, that we would see the ways in which our lives mirror the fool that's laid out in Proverbs. God, would you give us the grace to repent, to turn from that, to be honest with ourselves and with those around us? Would you give us the grace and the mercy to be humble and to begin to seek your grace to transform us and to change us? Father, I pray for those who are frustrated because they're trying to lead and walk alongside of foolish people. And I pray they would have the insight to not waste their words and the courage to pray for the mercy of hard discipline. God, there are people that are connected to our church that need to experience your discipline for the sake of their souls and for the sake of their eternal good. And because we love them, we pray for that. We pray that you would bring them to the end of themselves, however painful that process needs to be in their lives, that they might be humbled and that they might be shown your mercy, that they might become wise indeed. And we thank you that Jesus Christ is our wisdom and that in him we are pointed on the path to becoming wise. Make us wise people, that you might be glorified in us. We pray for your glory. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. For more information about Coram Deo, visit our website at cdomaha.com.